This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofa lava to our Samoan listeners. I guess they're probably still celebrating after the great win over Tonga on the weekend. And g'day to everyone. Welcome to Neesian Footy. The best way to stay in touch with all your Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinirao Arona T. Happy Father's Day for yesterday, mate.
Kia ora, mate. Happy Father's Day to you too. How was your Father's Day?
Beautiful. It's a blessing. A blessing
nothing
to have the
change
kids
for yourself.
Or? Nah, Father's Day, Christmas, every day in my household.
I spent the morning looking for some golf balls with my father and my father-in-law.
All three of you looking for the golf balls together.
Nah, it was a great morning, and happy Father's Day to all fathers listening here on Neesian Footy. We have a big show lined up. So, mate, plenty of news when it comes to the NRL and some of the results that happened in round 26, which I will cover. We'll also catch up with Shelley Long and cover all the NRLW news. You'll cover the PAC champs?
Pacific Nations. Oh, what is it again? Just that game that they play in heaven. The Pacific Nations rugby champs.
And we have a massive guest, Jeff Tomanga Allen, who plays for the Queensland Reds. He's also represented the New Zealand All Blacks. He's played over in the UK and Ireland, and
he's been around. He's a solid player. Probably should have had more test matches. If I'm being honest, I played against Big Jeff, but it'll be a great insight because he's going to talk about the Reds trip when they played against Tonga over in Tonga a while back. But yeah, be cool to get his insights.
Moment of the week.
T, our moment of the week this week has to come off the field for Tonga. Wasn't too many moments on the field. So I need to shed a bit of light on our Ikaletahi players. And it's, again, we see it all the time, and it never gets old in my eyes, the jersey presentation and just what goes on, especially with our Pacific cultures. It's unique. Because there's a lot more moving parts just to compared to, say, the ones, number 13, Tinirao Arona, there's a lot more. We go family, faith, and the footy bit is sort of almost secondary to what it means to put on that jersey. So I've got a bit of audio from my cousin Patrick Pellegrini, who played on the weekend, just around the hymn that they sung. I thought it was just a beautiful moment before their jersey presentation against Samoa.
Beautiful, mate.
That's the just the hymn. You know, that hymn is sort of like they say is Tonga's second national anthem, binds everyone together on it. And just seeing a big bunch of humans get their voice ready, sing it loud and proud. I'll never get sick of hearing the hymns from, you know, Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, from all our brothers and sisters in the Pacific, you know, before game day.
And the Cook Islands.
Oh, and the Cook Islands,
Let's get over to footy news.
Hey, everyone. Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. You're here with Neesian Footy.
Yes, Sammy, round 26 in the NRL. And there were a few games where it determined who was a chance to play next week in the finals, in the NRL finals. So I have covered a couple games, and we have first, Eels have spoiled the Dragons, finals footy hopes, by beating them 44-40. Eels being second last on the NRL ladder.
It's a cricket score.
The Dragons being eighth. So Dragons create history, scoring the most points in a losing team in a first grade match.
Wait, so hang on. So they're the first to score 40 points and not win a game. First one in
the
NRL history.
The highest
points
scored in a losing team. So not the best.
Is that a good thing, you reckon?
No,
it's not.
Probably something, a little bit about the Eels' defence towards the back end of that game. But Will Pinnacini, the Tongan, he scores the first try for the Eels, hitting a nice line and breaking the Dragons' defence. Now, 5 minutes later, Fijian Micah Sivo, he scored his 100th NRL try, beating two defenders to the try line.
Dummy half hands, shifts it left away. Quick hands, Brown to a Talangi way to Micah Sivo, but Lomax has got him! No, he doesn't! Sivo forces his way over Lomax and Suar to score!
Sivo goes on to score another two tries, making it a hat-trick for the Flying Fijian. Now, with 10 minutes to go, the score is 44-12 Eels way. 10 minutes to go. So in 10 minutes, the Dragons scored 5 tries and kicked 4 goals. So that's 28 points in 10 minutes. Samoan Matt Fainga scores 3 out of the 5 tries, but the Dragons just ran out of time. So mathematically, you know, the Dragons can still make the top 8, but it's a very, very, very slim chance because they would need the Knights to beat the Dolphins by a very small margin. Then they would need to beat the Raiders by at least 80 points.
Just a lazy 80 points.
Just a lazy 80. So
they scored 40 in a short amount of time. So it could be doable.
So they'll be chasing down. The four and against just, not good enough. But Dragons losing that match, they see themselves out, which set us up for a great game where the Broncos take on the Dolphins in the Battle of Brisbane. So the winner of this game goes straight into eighth position. Broncos enforcer Payne Haas and Dolphins enforcer Tavita Pangai Jr. both started this game and they met at the very first kickoff. Payne Haas off the back fence. Tavita Pangai comes straight in and they try and drive him back. Just the way to set the tone for this match. But Jermaine Isakua, the Samoan winger, he opens the scoreboard, finishing a nice team try, a nice team shift, and he finished in the corner. Now, he followed this up by nailing the conversion from the sideline. A few minutes later, the Tongan veteran, Felice Galfusi, he gets sent for 10 for a high tackle. But with a man down, the Dolphins score again from an offload from Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, the Hammer. Now, the Hammer goes on to score 2 tries. His first one, he picks up a loose ball from the Broncos, and then he runs 90 metres untouched to score underneath the post.
Played to Marshall King, fins to the left. O'Sullivan onto Tabuai-Fido, runs infield, beats a tackle, and the Hammer puts the nail in the Broncos' season. It's another try for Tabuai-Fido.
Man, I don't think there is a better sight than seeing that bloke in full flight. Like, it is beautiful to watch, and he does it all the time.
Well, I think he went in cruise mode with about 30 metres to go, and then they had Tristan Saylor chasing him down, and then he realised, and he's just gone on and scored the try. But it was a good effort from Tristan to try and catch him. Now, the Hammer finished with 2 tries, 1 try assist, and ran for 205 metres. So, Wayne Bennett and the Dolphins absolutely dominated the Broncos. So now with the Knights beating the Titans, this sets us up for an early elimination match. So Dolphins will play the Knights this Sunday. Now the winner will make the 8th top 8 and they will play semifinals footy. And the loser will be preparing for off-season and that will be their last match for this year. So an exciting game to look forward to this Sunday. It's the last round of NRL.
The regular season.
The regular season too, so
lots to play for in this last round too for a lot of teams. Even the Battle of the Spoon. Even the battle, there's a lot riding. And man, I'm excited for rugby league this weekend.
And in other news, we have Jordan Rapana, the Cook Islander that plays for the Canberra Raiders. He has, unfortunately, might have fractured his cheekbone coming up against the Roosters on the weekend. And that might be his last game of NRL because he is heading over to the Super League to play for the Hull FC in the 2025 season. So if it is your last NRL game, Jordan, well done. I think you've had a great career here and all the best. Go smash it in the Super League. And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. In the New South Wales Jersey Flag, we have the Cavite Silktails still haven't won a match this season. They lost to the West Tigers 32-0. And in the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters, they won 23-8 against the winner Manly Seagulls in Port Moresby in an elimination final. Now, they'll be on the Sunshine Coast this weekend looking to get the win in Falcons territory. Plenty of NRL, rugby league.
Rugby league in general. On that Kaviti Silktails, West Tigers, there's a gun halfback for the West Tigers. His name's Anthony Large. Tongan Indian. He goes to Scots Rugby Union.
What's his name?
Anthony Large. Look out for that name. He's only 17 and he made his jersey flag debut last week and then he got to play again this week. So
true.
They've got some young upcoming talent, the Tigers. If they can hang on to him, there's probably some good signs ahead. Just on that note.
Well, Sammy, that's everything in rugby league. What do we got in rugby union?
Rugby union. Well, we're going to go straight to the Samoa and Tonga game that was played on the weekend. Samoa, they were too good. 43-17, and to be honest, in review, I reckon they would be pretty disappointed that they didn't score more points. They left a fair few points out there. The way that they played, I think, and the reason why I say that, so they've got their systems in place. I genuinely believe they understand how they want to play in terms of the right parts of the field. They have a good kicking game. Their scrum half, Matavau, he's an exciting talent, and he reminds me a little bit of Sua Fa'alongo. He's got that style about him, very electric, can go from 0 to 100 straight away, and his footwork at pace, he's just bamboozling defenders. So
does he have a goosey like sort?
Yeah, when he gets into space, that's how he set up the try on the weekend. Got out from the scrum, little goosey through, and then was facing hips square to the try line, and all of a sudden, still square and just moves right. Like it's impressive, like how he was playing. So I've got big raps on him. So yeah, I think that they've got like the right framework and how they play, but it's just those moments, and it's usually the forwards. And I'm going to put my hand up here and say, yeah, this is a forwards issue. You know, when they get a little bit of ascendancy in the game, a little bit of confidence, shift the ball wide, and they get that momentum. It's usually a forward always takes that little pick and go extra that's not needed and knocks it on or stuffs up that momentum rather than just cleaning past the ball, what you should do, and let the ball do the work because you've created the space by winning the ad line. So that's a couple of times they did that and just some basic execution. That's why they say they probably left some points out there. Another player that I thought was outstanding was Lock Samuel Slade. He was brilliant both sides of the ball. You know, was a pest at the breakdown. He won 3 turnovers for Samoa, for his team. And he was just effective at line out and scrum time as well, just doing the little basics really well. And he's probably going to hate me for mentioning this, but my cousin Patrick Pellegrini, who we had on the show, he got his first start for the year playing for the Mighty Red. Be honest, he didn't have the best game. Well, I guess the whole team really did it. And he gave Samuel Slade a try assist. Kicks the ball straight into his big chest. It bounces off. Slade goes through, regathers, and he thought he knocked it on. So he slowed down, but the referee didn't blow his whistle.
Play it on, sir.
Gas the fullback. This is a lock gas in the fullback. Scores in the corner. So, yeah, he was outstanding in that
game.
So
it wasn't a try assist to your cousin. It was a mistake, just for our listeners that may be confused.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
He's made the mistake. It's a bit of an inside joke when you do the old, try assist to the other team. What a sad guy. Throw your cousin under the bus.
You know, it's all right. It's all fun and games. It's just footy at the end of the day, unless you're under the microscope and you're getting absolutely torched.
Representing your nation, your family, just footy.
Just footy. But as I said, I mean, Lani Matavau, the halfback, he's outstanding. I think he's going to be, you know, the scrum half for Samoa for a very long time if they can keep him. But for the shining light for Tonga, I thought Lotu Anisi, the number 8, he was massive for them, and he's been massive for Minor Pacifica in the Super Rugby, and he's transferred his performances for the international stage. He scored 2 tries, but it wasn't enough. And you know, when I look at Tonga's game, and if I was reviewing how they are going to close that gap, it would just be their defense. When I look at their defense, their spacing, there's some basic principles, and it comes back to their spacing near the ruck. Very tight. So if you're an opposition defender, I'm the third defender near the ruck, I should be taking the first ball carrier, and that's how you come off the line square. But Tonga was so tight, it was like the 5th and 6th defender making the first tackle or attempting that first tackle, you know, for the first ball carrier for Samoa.
Yep.
And what that does, it just shortens the line.
And all these guys have to run around the other side.
Run around the other side.
Burn energy.
Burn energy, and Samoa found space on the edges because they had a narrow line. So just even fixing up that part of their game is going to help with, you know, bringing that scoreline down in defense. So there's still plenty of work with there. I've got a little bit of concern. Hopefully they can sort it out because they're up against a red-hot Fijian side this week. And we know what they can do in attack. They're going to punish you if you don't get that spacing right. So, and then in good news, the Wallabies, finally, they got up.
I was wondering why you walked in with a smile today, mate.
Yeah, chest poked out, ready to go. They broke an 8-game losing streak in the Rugby Championships, winning on the bell with a penalty goal against Argentina, 20-19. Gutsy, gritty win, wet, slippery conditions, and you know the positive aspects of their game that they showed glimpses of against South Africa a couple of weeks ago through their physicality and D. They were able to do that for longer periods of time against Argentina.
Any of our Indonesian players stand out to you?
Yeah, Rob Valentini again. I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago with his ball carries against South Africa. I think he had 4 runs for 2 meters.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not through not wanting to get more runs. It was just the nature of that game against South Africa. He just couldn't find a way to inject himself. But against Argentina, you know, 8 runs for 20 post-contact meters, scored a try. And it just allowed his team to get a lot more confidence for their forwards to set a good platform for his team. So when he's on the front foot, the rest of the team's on the front foot. So they get that away win and they go again against Argentina this week to hopefully go back to back. In other rugby news, we also saw USA beat Canada 28-15 in that one, and New Zealand went down to South Africa. Samoa and Caleb Clark, his double wasn't enough to help New Zealand get that away win at Ellis Park in South Africa. So rugby union, more than last week, which was great. Plenty more this week too.
Great work, Sammy. Well, let's head over to Shelley Long with the long story short and cover all things NRLW.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, our PNG Orchid star, North Queensland Cowboy NRLW representative, Shelley Long, joining us here again on Indonesian Footy Mondays. Welcome back, Shelley.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me again.
There has been plenty of rugby league news. Fill us in. What do you got for us? NRLW, let's get straight into it.
NRLW. So I'll start with the Broncos versus Cowboys game, the Queensland Derby. That played on Sunday. It was unfortunately a loss for us, but for the Broncos, they got another win, 38 points to 12. Aneta Nuosala was incredible for the Broncos. Her powerful runs, charging down the line, and her defensive contact was incredible. She stepped in, she smashed a few of our players, made them stay on the ground for a little too long, but she was incredible for them.
Was this her first game back from suspension?
It was, and she's come out firing, making it known that she's finally back after a few weeks away.
Yes, she probably making up for her few weeks that she had to watch from the sidelines. She is also the sister of Frank Paul Nuosala, both very, they've got common playing styles, you know, very fiery, very aggressive. Seems like she had a big one against the Cowboys.
Yeah, she did, and moving on to the other games, the Sharks remain on top, having beaten the Titans 22 points to 6. So the Sharks showcased their dominance again in another incredible performance from them. So they'll remain at the top of the ladder. No one can really beat them per se as the season continues to go on. So it does look like they will probably take out the minor premiers.
What are your thoughts on the Sharks? Do you think they're the real deal?
Oh, I think if you can go unbeaten so far this period of time against some really good teams, and you're doing something right. But I definitely think if teams pay attention to maybe little things that they're not doing too well within video and within their whatever sessions they're doing, then you can probably find something to maybe beat them. But that comes down to how good of a team the ones versing them are as well.
Have you got any tips on how to beat them?
Well, I think the Sydney Roosters will do very well on them. Like, I think they're strong across the board. You've got a player like Taryn Aiken in the halves. She's been lethal. She did a full field pretty much runaway try last night. So I think they've got some sharpshooters who will be definitely challenging the Sharks this weekend.
In the men's game, we see last round and maybe this round, a lot of resting of players. Do you think even with the short time frame of the NRLW, do you reckon the Sharkies might look to rest a few over the next few weeks of the competition if they get the win this weekend?
I think if they get the win this weekend, they'll probably look to get another win, and then the final round they might look to rest them heading in. But I think with the short season, anything can happen, and with so many teams on such close points, they're probably looking to still make sure it's known that they're the top team in the competition heading into finals.
Yeah, they've got a couple of big games coming up, the Roosters, then the Broncos, and then they play the Tigers. I only know that off by heart because Tiana Pinatani, who scored a great try for the Sharks, told me this morning. So, yeah, looking forward to watching how they go the next couple of games. Any other games stand out to you, Shelley?
Oh, it definitely the Roosters bounce back over the Raiders, a 34-20 win. Amber Hall, she's come back from a Lisbrink injury earlier on in the year, and she has been unstoppable out on those edge. So she has been killing it, just like your Aneta Nuosala. They have been Asian players who have been standing out week in, week out.
Beautiful. Go NRLW signings.
NRLW signings. So the Bulldogs have announced five new signings this morning, some of that being Teka, Tegan Dimmick, and Pani Hopewadi. So they will gain a very, very good forward pack in preparation for their first ever season within the NRLW.
Salary cap there? Tegan Dimmick, Pani Hopewadi? Surely. They're doing a bit of a signing spree, the Doggies.
You thinking that? How do you think they'll go next year?
I think that there are players who have come from just recently started teams who will have a little bit of input into hopefully the building of the Bulldogs, which will make it a lot smoother into their transition for their first year.
Before we move over to Pack Champs, any other NRLW news?
Just a couple of games to keep an eye out this week. Sharks vs. Roosters on the Saturday, with Eels and Titans on Sunday, and Knights vs. Broncos on Sunday as well.
Now, Pack Champs, I know we mentioned this last week. What are your thoughts? You know, PNG Orchids up in the Pacific Championships Cup, where they will join New Zealand and Australia. So you're taking on the big dogs. How are you feeling?
You know what? You can take a little bit of confidence out of the fact that you get to play the top teams in the world in the women's space. But I think it's just building steps for us, and we'll get to see where we're at ahead of the World Cup in 2026. So that's also some great comfort for us. And I think now that the pathways have been made in PNG, we should see a lot more of regular footy for the women, and then that will progress into our team. So I'm excited for it. I'm nervous. I think it's going to be definitely a tough one, but, you know, that's footy. And, I'm excited for the challenge.
Now, the cool thing about this Pacific Championship series is there will be a promotion and relegation game. So the loser of the cup will play the winner of the bowl, and that will determine who will play in the cup and bowl next year, winner going up to the cup. Now, in the bowl, in the women's Pacific Championships bowl, we have Cook Islands, Samoa, Tonga, and Fiji. How do you think them teams will go, and who do you think will win the Pacific Championships bowl?
I think it will be very strong competition, and it provides more games for the girls. But I think when you hear the likes of Tiana Pinatani joining Tonga for the Pacific bowl, I think you will see a few other girls hopefully join her and strengthen those teams. So it will be definitely a challenge. But I'm going to put it on either Samoa, or I'm going here with Tonga. So I think one of those might come up and verse the loser from the Pacific Cup.
Yeah, and hopefully that's not you girls, and it'll be New Zealand or Australia.
hopefully.
In saying that as well, T, whoever does win out of that Pacific Bowl, so when they verse each other, whoever wins out of their game then goes on to play the winner of the other game. Whoever wins overall, they will then automatically qualify for the 2026 World Cup.
Ooh.
Hey, who would be the equivalent of a Tiana for Samoa? Like, you know, when you talk about that type of name, for them to attract their talent, who would they have?
You've got Sunny's sister?
Nael.
Noah Williams. Yeah, Noah Williams. Okay, yep.
Who else do they have, Shelley?
Well, they can pull, you know, your Aneta Nuasala. They can pull quite a few players from the NRL to go and play over there. Like, not in the outside backs, but Aneta Nuasala as your forward, that's lethal.
Ivania?
Paliti? Oh, yeah, Paliti, yeah, if she doesn't choose
Australia,
yeah. Okay, ooh, that'll be interesting times when those squads get announced.
And then maybe Tonga taking Yasmin. Oh, and you've also got Salah.
Oh, and you've
got
for Samoa.
Mimes?
Samima.
Yeah.
Taufa, yep.
Samima Taufa. There's some big
names. Oh, there's big names.
And we also had, actually on Monday, we had Toru from the Gold Coast Titans. She'll be playing for the Cook Islands as well. So it's one series to look out for. Really looking forward to it. Any other news before we head over to Rugby Union?
Well, I just had a little saying for the PNG supporters, which I thought I would throw in there. Mihama must strut lo Pacific Championships. PNG, Yupla must kiss him tickets, blow orchids na Kumu's game by come up lo 2nd na 3rd November. That's for the PNG supporters.
Yes, yeah, Shelley, I understood that. Get your tickets. Come support the Hunters and the Orchids. What else was in there?
And I'm excited for the Pacific Championships.
Unreal.
Talk Pigeon, yeah?
Yes, Talk Pigeon.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
Beautiful
work, Shelley. That's
beautiful
awesome.
Work. You should do that more often. Part of your segment.
Yeah. Maybe we can round.
Now, off to the game we call Checkers, Rugby Union.
So over Union, finally some news for you, Sam.
Oh, don't jump on his finally and make it feel like it's, you know, a chore to be able to talk about the game, the beautiful game of Rugby Union. But anyway, carry on.
So the Wallaroo squad has been named ahead of the WXV2 and September tours, where they'll face off against Ireland and Wales. So there are four uncapped players who have been named in this squad. However, there are a lot of familiar faces, one being Eva Kapani, who has been absolutely smashing it in the Brisbane competition lately. Her highlight reel has been on the Wallaroos page quite a lot lately, so I'm excited to see her be named in that Wallaroos squad. However, though, two squads will be formed from this one to go to South Africa to play in the WXV2, and the other will head over to play in Samoa.
Yeah, that's right. So it'll be a bigger squad. And hopefully, yeah, that we'll soon find out what those squads look like in a week or so. And there'll be a big game. It'll be a first for the Wallaroos to play a test match over in Samoa against the Samoan national team. So looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. And I think as well, you know, from the championships that get played in the Gold Coast, where Samoa, Tonga, PNG all come together, it's exciting that the Wallaroos will take a game back over there and verse them for the first ever time.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And that's all we have time for Rugby Union.
And we'll see you next week. Too easy, Shelley. Thank you again. As always, we appreciate your expertise, knowledge, and we will see you next week on Nijin Footy.
Angai sa.
What was it?
Is that how you say it in PNG? Angai sa? Did I get that wrong?
Look at you.
Oh, look at me.
Oh, you're close, Sammy. Really
no. Close. I'm telling you.
All right. We'll see you next week, Shelley.
Kia ora, my name is Kiana Takairangi, and you are listening to Nijin Footy.
Well, Sammy, joining us is a special guest of ours, All Black number 1130. He represented Samoa as well. He's played at the highest level around the world, including New Zealand, England, Ireland, and now Australia. We have the one, the only, Jeff Tomanga Allen. My name is Jeff.
Well, I knew that was coming in. And you're actually the first person that actually pronounced my last name right, man. Thank you, bro.
A good one. That's what we try and do here on Nijin Footy, is making sure we get something right, and that's the pronunciations.
Well, bro, over 100 caps, and I have to ask you, bro, how's the body? How's it holding up?
The knees are hanging on by a thread. they're good. The body's okay. Man, I actually thought I was going to retire after my first Australian preseason, so Australian Super Rugby preseason. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to throw it in, but we're here now. we're cracking on.
It is different. A lot of Kiwis say that when they come over and do an Aussie preseason, it's like we train harder, but sometimes it's not smarter. It's pretty brutal. Yeah. But something else that's brutal, when you get a bit older and you have those tour games and you announce that, we're going to go over and play some big Tongans. Sometimes you're using this period to freshen up and you get named to go. Yeah, how's the body after that one playing over in the kingdom?
Oh, I played it smart. You know, I played it smart. I went really well against Wales the week before and they decided, well, they either dropped me or they decided to rest me to come off the bench against Tonga. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty pretty happy because the boys took the brunt at the start. And then we came on and just finished the game, which was actually quite good. So I didn't cop it.
But talk us through that experience in Tonga. Have you played over there? What was that experience like?
No, I hadn't actually played over there before. First time being in the kingdom. My wife's actually Tongan, so to be in her home in the motherland, like see her family house and the land, her family land, it was actually real humbling, man. Like, and it just, I don't know, it just made me happy. Like, that's all I could explain it as. Like, my heart was happy and full of love for my family and knowing that I could represent my wife's family, you know, like over there. I'm just this half-caste white Samoan, like, you know, repping. But and the other humbling aspect and perspective was one of the players come up to me after the game. Like, he's just like, look, man, I'm just a local boy. Like, oh, is it all right if I, you know, have your gears and stuff? Oh, bro, I gave him everything. But and in saying that, he's like, oh, I watched you growing up, this and that. And I was like, oh, one, I felt real old, but two, I was like very, very humbled knowing that I could give back to the game in that aspect. Like, because you forget, like I forget, you know, kind of the status that I have type thing without being, you know, that guy. You forget, man, just because I feel like when I play rugby, I'm like everyone else. You know, it's a universal sport. We all can play. But going back, like I was talking about, just made me very happy to give back to the sport in the kingdom. So,
Yeah, I love that piece around, you know, giving the simplest things that we might take for granted. We get our kit all the time and then all of a sudden it means the world to the locals. Was that something your team spoke about, like with the girls and the boys heading over to Tonga, about immersing yourself in the culture when you get over to Tonga? You know, give whatever you can and really enjoy this experience. It's not so much about the result on the field.
Yeah, there was definitely a driving factor, like, not so much the giving, but more so the experience, like being in the moment and really living in the experience, because the giving came with it, I think, because it's very humbling. You know, you go back to the island and it's like, just like you said, it's perspective, right? Like, we take things for granted in Australia and New Zealand, like, then when you go back to the islands, bro, they're walking around bare feet, like happy with the biggest smile on their faces, like, go to school with hardly anything, you know, all natural resources, lunch and stuff is breadfruit in the morning, breakfast. Like, it's just so humbling. So for both the girls and the boys who haven't really experienced that or haven't been exposed to that, it was actually awesome to see, because they were just like, you could see them being filled with joy too, to know, oh, wow, like playing rugby is just a small speck in what I do in my life.
Oh, that's cool, man. It's heartwarming, eh, when you listen to it, but seeing you experience that, it's pretty cool. I want to touch a bit about your journey. You know, I mentioned earlier you've played in a number of different countries, but also having to, you know, take your wife and your kids and make those big decisions to move on the other side of the world. You know, what was that like as a, you know, half-caste Samoan from New Zealand? Then all of a sudden you're talking about moving to England and moving to Ireland. What were those conversations like, and how did you handle that?
Well, from the bat, like when I was younger, the dream was to play for the All Blacks. And then part of that dream was living overseas. Like, and my wife's been there from day dot. So we're high school sweethearts. So we've been together for, 16 years, married for 12. So the decision in making and going overseas was easy, because we had already decided when we were teenagers, look, this is the vision. Once we do in New Zealand and reach the pinnacle of whatever that may be, then we're definitely going overseas. Like, that's just what we want to do. So when we made that decision in 2019, it was pretty straightforward. And we decided as a family, like, My boy was 2 at the time. But we decided, let's go for 10 years. Like, if we're going to go, we're going to go. We're not coming back. Let's go for 10 years. And if I retire overseas, I'll work overseas. And then if we need to come back, home is always home. Like, that's just, that was the plan. So then, man, God works in mysterious ways, and he always has a bigger plan than any of our vision. So moving overseas was one of the best things we ever did as a family. Loved it. Like, went to England, did 3 years there. Then an opportunity came up in Northern Ireland, did a year there, and quite a little bit gutted, if I'm honest, that we didn't get to stay, because I was 1 year off my residency, my UK residency. But, you know, as our plans to be, just didn't work out. We were going to stay in France, but an opportunity came up in Brisbane with the Reds. And another thing, like, God just has an amazing plan for us, and it's just been awesome. Like, I've only been here a year, but, man, we feel settled, and yeah, it's awesome. The door is not closed yet overseas, but we're just trucking on, man. I'm just living life and enjoying it, enjoying the journey and enjoying the things that go with it. So,
it's a unique experience in the rugby union world to be able to travel and get paid to do what you love doing and experience new cultures. Absolutely. I love that, you know, when I moved over to Japan. But, you know, bouncing around to those different countries, experience different footy cultures, different cultures with those countries, you know, connecting with other Pacific Islanders, Samoans and Tongans, is it the same, like, banter? Is it the same mannerisms and habits you get in all those overseas countries as it is, you know, when you're back in New Zealand or Australia?
Honestly, you find any islander anywhere, it's the same. You find a Tongan in the team, there's like, bro, 20 Tongans that they know, and you're like, where have these guys been? They're like, oh, no, that's my cousin from over there. Or, oh, no, I just found out that we're second cousins removed, this and that. Any Fijian you find, anyone, they have communities. That's the beautiful thing about our culture. Of the Pacific Nations is that anywhere you go, it's automatic family, right? Because of the banter, because of how we were raised in terms of respect, how you treat your elders. Like, it's very funny seeing our Pacific culture in other countries with how they are. Like, for example, the English are very different, high walls type people. It takes a while to break down, you know, in terms of personality, how they're raised, different cultures, right? But then you meet a Samoan over there, or you meet a Pacific Islander, it's automatic, like, bro, do I know you? Like, do we know each other? And the banter is just automatic, you know? It's that whole mocking kind of culture, but with love. It almost brings, like, a sense of home anywhere you went when you bump into any Islander. Like, I remember we were out at a park just with the boy, like, taking him like for a scooter ride or something. My missus sees a Fijian like across the way. She's like nudging me, like, babe, I'm sure he's an Islander. I'm sure he's an Islander. I want to say hi. It's like, anywhere else in the world, why would you see a stranger and just beeline it and say hi, you know? Like, but because of that culture and that connection, it's just like automatic. Ended up being friends with them, like, found out they're in the army and da da da. Like, but just, yeah, it's automatic family, right? And that banter is easy.
You're absolutely right.
Hey, that's so true. It's, you wouldn't do that to any other stranger.
Yeah, any other stranger's like, what a weirdo. But,
it reminds me, because
I think if I had done it, it would be weird because of my complexion, but Mags are, you know, brown with the brown, so it's like, oh, true, sup, cuz? Like,
it reminds me because I've always actually wanted to thank you. So I stayed north of England in the rugby league community, and as Jeff says, it's about the, you know, you create your own community with all the other Polynesians or islanders in them towns. So we know each other through Lima, my cousin, he was playing down in London. So I went down and I think it was like a lunch or just a catch up or someone's birthday. And then Jeff taught us, we walked in, bro, just straight away family vibes. He teaches the game Mafia. Now, if you've never played Mafia,
how good?
Right, so investigation game, and you know, there can be some fights that involve Mafia. And anyway, so this game that we've played, it was a fun game. And then I've gone back up north, told my community about it. We played it every single time we got together. One thing I did notice though was, like, you bring that family vibe straight away. You walk in the room. Is that something that you carried with you to to Ireland and now Australia.
Yeah.
You know, Craig.
Oh, for sure, bro. I still host like cards nights on a Tuesday night with the young boys just to make sure, one, they're cleaning their undies and they're getting bed breakfast. Obviously, you know, these single lads or, you know, early stages of relationships, they're still not looking after themselves properly. Like, but I just make sure that we create, wherever we went, Mags and I, my wife and I, wherever we go, we have to create our own community, right? Because that's a part of our culture. That's a part of who we are. And like, you break bread at the table, right? Community is built around the table and food. You know, it's all about that soul connection. And the best way that we know, all of us Islanders know, is through food, right? That was how we built community overseas. Because you move overseas, you got to be prepared to be alone. It's lonely, but only if you make it lonely. Yeah. If you isolate yourself, then it's going to be tough. So you have to put yourself out there in terms of building community, building family. So I've got some of my best friends that live overseas now, like, built those relationships. But that's only through breaking bread at the table. You know, we're heavily involved in the church and through our faith, as a lot of us are, Pacific Islanders are, you know, like, so that's how we led in terms of community. And being older and being a bit of a vet of the game, it's important to pass that on to the younger generation, because they're the ones that are going to do that in the future, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's about. Like, we all know rugby league, any sport, it's not forever, but relationships can be if you want it to be, you know. So, and that's the important thing.
Now, it's absolutely spot on what you're saying about the older players just passing that baton on to the young ones. We had Alan Alaalatoa on, and he said the same thing when he came through the ranks, and it was Christian Lili Fano just, you know, doing the same thing, and now him being in a leadership role, he passes that down. But I want to touch on you playing for Samoa, you know, 2022. Yeah. You're capped there. You're part of that first wave of players when they changed the rules, and you were able to represent the homeland. Man, what was that experience like, probably, you know, in your preparation of wanting to, you know, play for the All Blacks, but then now having the opportunity to play for Samoa?
Well, it's funny because, you know, one chapter closes and I didn't think another would open in terms of the international space. Like, at the time, I'm 30. I'm thinking, oh, I've done my international run. Like, I'm not going to play international again. They take young boys and da-da-da-da. Mups at the time, Selala Mapuso, he calls me. And he says, oh, what do you think about playing for Samoa? I think I was at Ulster at the time, but I stopped in my tracks and I was like, are you joking, or are you actually being for real? Like, he's like, nah, for real. Like, I need you to switch your allegiance because there's a thing you have to sign. And I was like, sweet, done. And I said, he's like, oh, look, we're looking to change this and that, and like, really make some big changes around Samoa rugby and this and that. I want you to be a part of it. I was like, oh, sweet, like, all good, but I don't know if I make it or not. Like, I just went about my business. Then when the team gets named, he calls me and says, oh, look, I'm going to name you tomorrow in my squad. And I cried. I broke down crying. Oh, well, I don't know if it was tears or my sweat in my eyes, but I was, I cried, bro. Like, I was just lost for words. And then when I actually played for Samoa, it was such a different feeling to the All Blacks. Not a sense of more pride or it was better or this, it was just so different because the only way I can explain it, and the way I explain it to my son, is like, I felt it in my bones, bro. Like, it's my culture, it's like who I am, the representation of the bloodline, you know, like, you literally, like, it's different because it's in your blood, the culture, like, doing things like family local at night, you know, every night at 6 o'clock you do a prayer, so one of the boys would read a scripture and one would lead the prayer, and then we sing our hymns, and like, it was just, the culture was so rich. The resource was poor, but the culture was rich. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was to compare it to the All Blacks, it's definitely tier two, like, but it was tier one culturally. Like, you can't replace that, you know? And so, and for me to experience that was so humbling and one of the best memories of my career, you know?
That's so cool, bro. That's
very well said, eh?
Growing up in New Zealand, you know, you mentioned you're half Palangi, half Samoan. Were you close to your Samoan culture?
Yeah, I was raised with my Samoan family, pretty much. My mum's got 13 siblings, so You know that whole saying, like, yeah, you're right. That's the exact same reaction. Like, what? But she was one of four that moved. She was the fourth eldest. She was one of four that moved to New Zealand in the 70s. So, and then the rest were born in New Zealand. But I was literally raised by my aunties, like her sisters. So raised by a village. Legit.
And what was their reaction when you told them that you were representing Samoa?
Oh, over the moon. You know, like, we live everywhere now. Like, my family's in Sydney, Brisbane, I've got family in New Zealand, like everywhere, even in the UK. So telling them was just a massive thing. I think the most important person for me was two people were my mom and my grandma. My grandma turns 90 in September, so that's a huge milestone for her. But just to be able to tell her, look, Nana, I'm going to play for Samoa. Like, she's like, oh, my gosh, like, I can't speak Samoan fluently, but I'm very, I can understand it. So her, showing me her excitement on the phone was pretty, like, humbling and just made me feel happy with her broken English and fluent Samoan. So it was, like, it was cool, bro.
Yeah. Last question from me. What bit of advice would you give to a athlete that is, you know, transitioning between countries, and how to handle, you know, moving from one culture to another culture, but also staying real to who you are?
Wow, that's a great question. I think I've got a few things. Like, one is be prepared for the worst outcome in terms of homesick, like being homesick. You have to be prepared for that. Be prepared that it's going to be hard. But to kind of fight that, I guess my second piece of advice is to jump headfirst into the culture of where you are.
Yeah.
You know, like, embrace, you know, the pub dinners on a Sunday if you're in England. You know, like, just embrace the culture of wherever you are. You know, I don't know what it's like in Japan, but just really embrace it and prep your family if you are going with a family or your missus or whatever. Prep with each other because you only have each other at the end of the day. Those are the things, they're the two things, like, because naturally your culture, your identity and your values will come out within that, within embracing wherever you are, you know, you'll show who you are. So those are the things that I'd say, just really embrace the culture and wherever you are, because you only get these experiences once in a lifetime, right? If you are traveling and you're fortunate enough to play rugby or whatever you're doing in life, so just embrace it, man.
Oh, absolute perfect advice there for anyone listening about making the leap of faith and experience in another country. So, yeah, I think just outstanding words there for someone listening. Jeff, it's been unbelievable to have you on. We wish you all the best with the old rig to still keep pushing on. Long time retired? Still plenty of life left in the legs, mate. So all the best, hopefully we get to chat to you at some point soon, bro. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Nisian knowledge is, we're coming to the pointy end of the season. What's the score update, T?
It is that right? 14 to 11.5. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 2.5. Yeah, I'm behind.
Yeah, you're in front and all the other ones on the Nisian Footy Friday shows.
Well, for if you are new to Nisian Footy, at the end of Nisian Footy Mondays, me and Sammy play Nisian knowledge where one of us will ask the other three questions and we will keep a score update at the end of the season. The loser for Nisian Knowledge will get a Nisian Footy tattoo on their bum.
T, here we go. First up, the Rugby League World Cup. It's going to be in Australia. When's that? 2026. Yep. I'm assuming all of three of these teams have qualified, but Mark Nawanga Nitawase, he could potentially represent at least three countries at that World Cup. Name me all three.
Oh, that is a great, great, great question.
Two should be obvious. That's why it's not a multiple choice.
Yeah, Fiji and Australia.
Yeah, there's a two. What's the other one? What's the third one?
Oh, okay. So Fiji, Australia. I want to say, are you sure that third team has qualified?
I'm assuming they have because they've been in every other World Cup.
Okay.
So, and some big names have played for that team as well.
Ooh, I was going to go Wales, Ireland, or England. Big names. I'm going to go no big names have played for Wales other than Tyson Frizzell. Let's go Ireland.
Ireland. No, my friend, it's Italy. Italy.
Aussie, Italian.
Italian, yeah. So there he could represent Italy as well. His mum's Italian. James Tedesco played for Italy.
Yep.
That's why I said big name.
No, there were a few big names.
A few big names, eh? Who else has played?
I don't know. You told me the question.
Nah, that's all I knew when I said big. I should have said big name. Anyway, okay, none there. The Pacific Nations Cup for rugby started back in 2006. How many times has Fiji won? Is it A, 10? Is it B, 18? Or is it C, 6?
When was that, 2006?
Yep.
The year is 2024.
I knew you were going to break it down like this.
We'll go 4. So that's 18. How many, what was my options?
10, 18, and 6.
10, 18, and 6. So I'm going to scratch out 6. Have they won every single one?
Have they won every single one? I knew you were going to break it down to this.
Oh, surely not.
Have they won every year?
Surely not. Why do I feel like they've won every year?
Really?
I'm going to go 10 then.
10?
Nah. Wait, is PacChamp, sorry, is it always the same teams?
No, that's a great question. It is. It hasn't been the same teams. And if you knew the history of it back then, there were some
big, big teams.
Big teams.
Oh, so it might even be 6 then.
It could be.
I'll go 10. Lock it in.
Lock in 10?
Yeah.
Should have stayed with 6. It was 6 times. Because back in the day, they used to have Australia A and New Zealand in there as well. And then they also used to have the New Zealand Maldives in there. Close, T. Hey, these are good questions, AT.
No, they're not.
Yeah. I came across the NRL website. Interesting stats on there, on that stat sheet. What about this one? Could be a great stat or a rubbish stat, depending on how you want to interpret the data. But this is for the player with the most decoy runs. For the most, so in the NRLW, which Nijan star, and I mean genuine star, is coming third with 36 decoy runs. Sydney team as well, to put that for you.
No option. You're just going to say Sydney out team. Of the whole NRL.
But
wow.
How many teams are in the NRLW? NRLW.
So you're going NRLW.
Sydney teams only.
Sydney teams. How many decoy runs?
Yeah.
So we're going Roosters, Newcastle,
but no, if I give
Tigers,
you the options, you're going to...
Sharks.
Oh, do you want me to give you the options? I'll give you 3 options.
I was going to go... Can't be. Is Newcastle...
No, not Newcastle.
Well, it's either Roosters, Sharks, Tigers,
West
Eels.
Of the bridge. West of the bridge. I'll give you that. West of the Harbour Bridge.
Harbour Bridge or Anzac Bridge?
Both west of it.
Well, there's... Well, then that makes Eels, Tigers, Eels or Tigers.
Eels or Tigers. Narrow it down to those two. Man, I'm practically giving you the answer.
Mate, the worst question out of ever. All, how many decoys?
That's a stat in the NRL. Awful. It's a crucial stat.
Salah's not a decoy runner, so I'm going to go, Kennedy's not a...
She was in the top 10, Kennedy.
It'd have to be... I'm going to say Salah, just because that's probably the only name. Salah.
Nah, Elsie Albert. I thought you would have got that, bro. For
Shut
sure.
Up, it's not even a question, bro.
Oi, what a question that was.
Go those 3 questions and then put them up to Will Hopewadi's questions and see the difference, mate.
See,
that's awful.
Bro, that was outstanding. Nah, that's our time up for Nijan Footy Mondays. Remember, you can listen back to any of our chats, including the one with Lehi Hopewadi there. Tash Penatani, wherever you get your podcast, malo apito.
Look at him smiling over here.
Can't none from three,
I'll
bro.
See
none
you
from
on Friday.
Three.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.